please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. It is Friday, January 6th, 2017. Happy New Year to everyone. It is 2017. It's the very first Sex Out Loud of the year. And so we decided to do something special. With me today is Raymond. Now, if you don't know who Raymond is, let me tell you. Raymond is like the captain to my Tennille in a professional sense. Did you like that?
I love that.
Okay. I just came up with that on the fly. Okay.
That's good.
So Raymond is the associate producer of Sex Out Loud. He does all the bookings for all the guests. He does a ton of administrative work. He does all sort of guest relations. He live tweets every single show. That's him. So when you see those great quotes, you know, that's a skill and a talent. I can't do it. That's Raymond. So Raymond is like an integral part of the show, but he's sort of behind the scenes. And, you know, in the same way that Matt is, you know, Matt is my engineer, but Matt doesn't want to be on the radio. So we just refer to him and tease him mercilessly without him being able to come back at us. So hi, Raymond.
Hi, Tristan. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to do some kind of hot topics and news-related things. And a lot of them have to do, in fact, with gender. Let's just say that. A lot of them have to do with gender. The first little tidbit of news that you found that is really amazing is that the first intersex birth certificate has been issued in the United States in New York City. So when did this happen? Do you know when this happened?
It happened just this week. I want to say maybe yesterday. I get my Twitter topics sometimes mixed up, but the New York City issued it. It's the first birth certificate marked intersex to Sarah Kelly Keenan, who is a resident of Santa Cruz, California. But they're actually the second person this year. So Jamie Shoup of Portland was the first legally non-binary person in the U.S. through a court order in June. And that actually kind of inspired Keenan then to pursue what they did to get the birth certificate that's officially marked intersex. So they have the, I think she is her pronouns, but I don't know. I'm reading a PBS story about it, and for some reason I'm all like, I don't trust it. So I still like to say they, and I hope that, you know, I like to use they for everybody. So
yeah, I like to default to that. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, but they do use she in this article, so I also want to honor that as well, if that is her correct pronoun. So
I think this is really important because there is all of this legislation happening, which we're about to talk about, that constantly refers to the quote sex, or they even sometimes say gender, on your birth certificate.
Right.
So this is like a legal thing that people are trying to fuck over trans people, obviously, with. And now if we have more than two categories, then what are people supposed to do?
have mind melt, I guess, for certain populations. They can't really seem to process that. But I do feel like it's going to be opening the door for more people to maybe realize there's kind of no such thing as biological sex or biological gender, which is a term that I feel like gets used a lot in these legislations. It's about people using the right restroom of their right biological gender. But if you actually are looking into scientists who study biology of gendered beings and mammals and whatnot, it's not really as black and white as we want it to be. It's not really as sort of everyone is on this side or on this side. Yeah. So it's good to have these legal documents that are sort of acknowledging, like, there are people that live in the middle, and that's okay. They don't have to be forced into one side or the other for the rest of their life.
Right. I mean, it's almost like we're making progress on the one hand, right? It's like some of these legal things are catching up with how we know the world really is, basically.
Right.
But then we have this backlash to it. So just this week, it was announced at the National Conference on State Legislators that legislation has been introduced in 8 new states that will restrict the use of spaces like bathrooms, changing facilities, shower rooms, and locker rooms by requiring that they be used according to the, quote, person's biological sex, as you said. So I want to list off and shame these various states. It's Minnesota, Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina, Alabama, Texas, and surprisingly, Washington State.
Yeah. So these are bills that are kind of modeled after HB2, which North Carolina became notorious for in this past year, the bathroom bill. So for those who wanted to just sort of laugh and think that was just something in the far corner of the South, this is actually coming for you. Like, these are states kind of all over. These are states in the Midwest, states in the South, states in the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, that makes me think, you know, so these, the Texas one is the one that has the bill too, that's also talking about doctors' rights. Is that the one?
Yes. Texas one is a bigger issue. It's not, there's a bill and legislation that's pending, but then there's also this judge's ruling.
Right, right. Okay.
So there's this federal judge in Texas who issued an order blocking the Obama administration from enforcing one element of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. That element prohibits discrimination in healthcare against transgender people and women who have had abortions. Interestingly, they've now tacked the sluts and the trans people together.
right. So this judge says that, like, if you're a doctor and you have religious problems with people who are trans or women who have had abortions, you can now refuse to treat them. And again, I think it's easy for people to be like, oh, Texas is wacky, Texas is weird, it's the South, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But there other news story that I saw this week is about a transgender man suing a Roman Catholic hospital who refused his surgery, a hysterectomy, and this was happening in New Jersey. So I think what happens is that when these laws pass and they have the support, then, as the language we've been talking about a lot, is other people are emboldened to then come out of the woodwork and see if they can sort of also bring their oppressive ideas, you know, whether you're in Trenton, New Jersey, or in Texas. So I don't know. It's something to be aware of, to be on everyone's radar, I think, to kind of following all these bills and see where they're going and make sure that they get shut down before they get too far along in the process.
And listeners, if you live in any of those states, Minnesota, Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina, Alabama, Washington, Texas, even New Jersey, you need to call your legislators and tell them where you stand on this issue, because they record all those calls, and that counts as, like, what the, quote, people want, even though it's a tiny percentage of their constituency. The people who pick up the phone and the people who talk to someone or write letters actually get counted. So if you want to be counted on this, and there's, you know, there's going to be more, like you said. I think that there's continually this kind of pushback of, this reminds me of, like, the pharmacists who don't have to give out birth control or Plan B if they're, like, against it. I just, listen, I'm against plenty of things that I still just do because I'm, you know, a citizen. I'm against like sitting at a red light when there's clearly no other cars coming in any other direction. if there's like no right on red or left for that matter, like I'm against that. But like we have these laws and, you know, and we've got to obey them. And I feel like all of this being couched in terms of religious freedom is really, really problematic. It's just really problematic. I mean, and I don't know what they're getting from like pushing this stuff through. It seems to me it's also a huge waste of time and resources. Like, are there going to be debates about this on the floor, on the Senate floor? And like, who's going to make the argument for the bathrooms? Like, who, you know, the statistics are really clear. No one is being assaulted or accosted or sexually abused in bathrooms by trans people. Like, right.
It's already illegal to commit assault anywhere, including bathrooms. And right. There is no statistical evidence of this, there being some sort of rampage of trans people disturbing people in the bathrooms at all.
No.
But this is something that they can galvanize people around by playing on their fears and fears of trans people, because trans people are weird. And, you know, we're having this sort of moment as far as popping up in pop culture in certain ways, but we still have a long way to go for sort of mass education, I think, you know, beyond just, I mean, I love Laverne Cox so much, but Janet Mock, people like that, but they're not reaching everybody. It's still this issue that people I don't even know exactly how to penetrate it. Like, I kind of can't even really talk about the trans issue. I mean, especially like sometimes for me feeling like unsafe, like I don't know if I want to come out to this person right now as trans when they say that. So I think I end up sort of taking the tack that you just talked about. Like, is this really an important issue? Like, is this really helping you, going to make your life better? Is this something that we need to be wasting lawmakers, you know, time with and things like that? And just at least maybe encourage people to like push back and question why they think this is such an alarmist thing they need to go along with and to really...
Right, like what is the urgency exactly is the ultimate question that I have. Because it just feels like a backlash.
Yeah, and it also just feels like the politics know that they can whip up some folks into a frenzy with this fear and they can distract from the other laws that they're doing. Like, for example, North Carolina doing all the gerrymandering and making sure that the Republicans hold power, even though they're 40% and things like that. So it does, you know, not to be all like House of Cards conspiracy, but it does feel a little bit like, hey, you know, we can get them frothing at the mouth about trans people. So put that out there. Kind of right. Like the Planned Parenthood too. I feel like there's an element of that too. I even feel like maybe tacking on the Planned Parenthood thing to the Obamacare is they want a way to, like, if it fails, they can blame liberals because they tried to save Planned Parenthood and they're the reason why they kept Obamacare. But
right.
That's the real House of Cards rabbit hole going down. So,
well, you might not be too far off, but let's take a break because I want to talk about House of Cards and a little bit more about Obamacare and healthcare in general and what a fucking nightmare it is. But we're going to hear from our sponsors first. And when we come back, we are going to talk more about the issues of the day. Later on in the show, Riley Johnson is going to join us and talk about an amazing resource for trans, gender nonconforming, intersex, and queer people that has to do with affordable and affirming care. And we're also going to take listener questions. You sent me lots of questions over the holidays and called me and left messages, and we're going to tackle those too. So stay with us. More Sex Out Loud when we come back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. The Pleasure Chest has only one New Year's resolution for 2017, to help you have the best sex of your life. Visit their boutiques in New York, LA, and Chicago, and enjoy their free weekly workshops offered in their Pleasure Ed program. Experience sex ed in a fun, non-judgmental, and supportive environment. Whether you are improving your oral skills or learning the proper way to wield a whip, the Pleasure Ed program has classes for all experience levels, all orientations, and interests. Not only will you learn new skills to take home, but every attendee enjoys 15% off when they come to a workshop. And many of these toys, you know, never go on sale. There's no such thing as a coupon. So this 15% off goes a long way. You can visit PleasureChest.com for the class schedules. And you can use the code Tristan when shopping online for a free gift with every purchase. And I am thrilled to announce that I have a brand new partnership with Pleasure Chest. And that is, I have picked my favorite toys at Pleasure Chest. I have written up little stories about why they're my favorites, and they're all on one page for you to see. This is something I've been working on for a while because I really wanted to get to the toys that I use all the time and that I love, and then I wanted to tell you why I love them. So we are going to tweet out the link to Pleasure Chest and my special page. I'm one of several sex educators who has a curated page on their website, and this is actually going to replace the store on my website, puckerup.com. So puckerup.com, the shopping feature is going to go away, and I want you to do all your shopping at Pleasure Chest, of course, pleasurechest.com. Okay, so back to the topics at hand. So the first thing I thought of, Raymond, when you said, how do we penetrate the sort of masses, right, with education, is that last night I watched the HBO documentary, The Trans List, directed by Timothy Greenfield Sanders, hosted and produced by Janet Mock. It's incredible, and everyone should watch it. But my first thought was, God, if it were on like CBS, it would be so impactful, because this is something, you know, it's on HBO. Not everyone has HBO. You sort of have to seek it out to find it, and so I feel like in some ways it's not reaching the people who it could be reaching. And it is these profiles and interviews of trans folks of all different walks of life. They've done an incredible job of decentering white people, which is amazing. And they also end the show with a person who identifies as non-binary.
Oh, great.
And I wondered if they were going to do that. You know, I wondered if they could like tackle that and still kind of reach a mainstream audience, like explain to a mainstream audience what trans is, and then say, oh, by the way, there's all this other stuff too. And it was done in a really solid way that was both compelling for me as a viewer who knows about these issues, but also you could get a lot of 101 information out of it. I just wish it were on network television. Like, how do we get everyone to see it? How do we get it to be like required watching?
Right. We had to do queer resource sharing of and host HBO Go parties. People come over to the house.
Right.
Or at least maybe at some point, like, you know, hopefully it won't take too long before it goes to other platforms like Netflix, or, you know, it'd be nice if it could air on, like you said, ABC or even CNN or something like that to have more reach would be great.
I mean, even as just an introductory thing, if like a class in high school wants to be like, this is an introduction to what transgender people are all about. It
right.
would be so good. It's just so useful as a tool, and it's so well done. And it can just provoke so much discussion, but I want to get it like in front of all the right people that need it.
That's actually a great idea. Like the idea of just sending it to schools, like put it on every psychology class in like high school. To kind of help.
Yeah. I want to also send it to like every corporation. So whenever they do like a day where they are like talking about diversity, they watch this movie.
Right. Well, that it's funny you thinking about the representation thing. I also noticed that I guess a few months ago, CoverGirl had their first male model, James Charles. And I remember watching TV a couple months ago and actually seeing a boy come on as one of the models for their makeup. Yeah, and this week, Maybelline is now getting in on the action, and they have hired Manny Moi, who's a YouTube star. So they now have the second male model to be hired by a mainstream professional makeup company. And, you know, it's such a sort of a tiny thing, but it was really delightful, I have to say, when I was watching TV. I think I was watching, like, Dancing with the Stars or some very mainstream program, and during the commercial break, like, oh, look at that cute boy with really, like, slamming eyeliner, you know? So I'm glad that at least we are making some progress as well to just sort of show, like, there's a lot of gender presentation and variation. It's not just trans people, you know? So
exactly. And that is such a crucial point. I think that this idea that transgender people, gender nonconforming, gender queer, gender variant folks are the only ones challenging notions of gender, are the only ones interrogating the gender binary, are the only ones who have sort of the radical potential to dismantle this stuff. It just isn't true. I mean,
right.
That's the other thing, is I feel like we're not recognizing the tremendous gender variance that already exists among all kinds of people, including people who are cis or non-trans.
Right, exactly.
You know, one thing that I think is really important as we go forward is, you brought this up in the first segment, we think Obamacare is actually going to be repealed, which is such a horrifying thing. And I think it's going to cost something like $300 billion to do away with it. And then, of course, it's going to cost like another billions and billions of dollars to like get a new system. Because what about all of us who are on Obamacare, which includes me?
Right.
We just really need to be vigilant about our healthcare. And so we've got a caller on the line who is going to tell us about something really exciting. Let me tell you who he is. Riley Johnson is an activist and consultant dedicated to connecting folks to what they need. For the past 13 years, Riley has helped organizations and clinics improve their services and has helped trans, gender nonconforming, intersex, and queer people understand their bodies, their rights, and their options in health environments. He is co-founder and executive director of Rad Remedy. Hey, Riley.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here. I feel like this is a really important issue that sort of dovetails nicely with some of the stuff we're talking about in terms of healthcare. So can you tell me what Rad Remedy is?
Sure. We're a community-driven nonprofit that is remotely operated. And I like to say that we're like the little engine that could and does. We have kind of great big work to do, but the thing that we're most known for is the referral aggregator database, or what is known as RAD. And what that is basically like our version of Yelp for like the populations that you mentioned, the queer, trans, intersex, and queer people. And What we're basically looking to do is to provide some accountability for providers and some engagement among the community members about the care that they receive. We break it down. They can put in reviews about, you know, the intake staff, the providers, and, you know, other folks in the actual office. And we want to basically make it possible for people to know what they're walking into. If they're seeing a new provider, if they're, you know, if they're kind of scared, that's totally normal and fine. You know, we want to take the guesswork out of it. And so, you know, this was born out of my own experiences of trying to connect people in Chicago to what they needed and, you know, knowing where to go, but at the same time, dealing with large clinics where, you know, the people change, but yet, you know, the clinic undermining it or under kind of the base of it is supposed to be, you know, trans-friendly, but that the people change makes it a little bit less, you know, less knowledgeable or the way that we know for a fact that it's trans-friendly. And we've also found that, you know, there are the ability for somebody to self-select as trans-friendly impacts people's care. So the ability for somebody to say, yes, I'm trans-friendly, but not actually having to prove I'm trans-knowledgeable and I have, you know, this experience of serving trans folks has impacted the care that folks receive in the surveys that we've done. They've mentioned that. And we've actually asked organizations, community organizations all across the country, we've asked them, you know, if you have a referral list, what are the terms under which somebody comes on that list? And it varied everywhere from, you know, I have to have a client who's had a good experience, so it's a direct connection, all the way to a provider asked me to be put on. So it was a matter of them self-selecting that they should be on this list. And so, you know, what we want to do is encourage organizations to be more mindful about who goes on their list and maybe doing some list maintenance with us. We encourage providers to you know, consider their practice and consider how TGIQ people fit in within that. You may notice that I use the term TGIQ as opposed to LGBT.
Yes.
And I use that very specifically, which is that, you know, I'm wanting, and our organization is wanting to target folks who are even marginalized in LGBT environments. And so we put the focus on those folks and try to, you know, kind of center them in the work that we do, because that's, you know, we're a buy-in for kind of organization. We're, you know, predominantly trans people and occasionally queer people as well. But we want to basically essentially help ourselves out and help out the communities that we serve. And so we do that via a number of things. So we do it via the database, obviously, and some of the provider consulting and other work that we do. But one of the things that I'm really excited about for 2017, we're putting together what, as far as I know at this point, is the first ever community-driven competency standards for trans and gender nonconforming intersex and queer people, TGIQ people. Where it basically says, you know, as a community, this is what we're expecting of you. We're expecting providers to, you know, have periodicals that interest these communities if you're going to serve us. We expect that you're going to have, you know, certain bathroom situations. We expect that you're going to be wheelchair accessible. You know, all of these things that, you know, we expect and that our users expect. And we feel like, with it coming from the community as opposed to providers to providers, I think it carries a different weight, and it carries, hopefully, a little bit more, a groundedness to it, a sort of more accessible piece to it. And we want to basically make it easy for providers to improve. So we are all about judgment-free improvement. So whatever it looks like for people to improve their services is what we're going to do. And we also do this, we're going to be doing this thing, which I'm really excited about, which is a provider competency project, where we're going to be, basically we've been looking at how training happens. And it's, you know, you have all of these competency trainings happening in these different organizations and lots of trans 101 trainings happening, but not in the advanced endocrinology or, gynecology for trans men. Like there's these gaps, but we don't know what the gaps are because nobody has mapped them. And so what we want to do is to basically, you know, have the standards, create the standards, which we're in the process of finishing up now, And then mapping the trainings that exist to those standards, and then saying, you know, we have, you know, 570 Trans 101 trainings. Can somebody somewhere please do an advanced endocrinology training, or, you know, whatever that looks like, so that we can as a movement be more directed in the trainings that we do, so we're filling those gaps. And then we can
okay,
also...
I gotta interrupt you. Hang on one sec. Don't worry. There'll be more.
Okay.
We've got to go to another commercial break because we're
okay,
live.
Cool.
But you raise a lot of important points. I have questions. Raymond probably has questions. we want to have you on for the next segment. So stay right where you are.
Awesome.
Riley,
thank you so much.
And everyone else, stay where they are. We're going to have Riley back in the next segment. I know I have questions. And then in the final segment, remember, ask Tristan, caller feedback and questions. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, The Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm talking today with my producer, Raymond Johnson, and our guest, Riley Johnson, about trans-affirming and competent healthcare. And at the break, these two revealed something that I actually didn't know that I need all of you to know. So, Raymond, why don't you tell the story?
Well, so Riley and I actually know each other way back when, from the Chicago days. And we are also, I believe we met through LiveJournal, right, Riley? Yeah, through LiveJournal.
Yeah, circa 2001.
Yeah. So, we were actually kind of like some of the first, like Riley just said, I was one of his first trans friends. He was definitely one of my first trans friends as well. So, but we haven't, I left Chicago 5 years ago, so we haven't connected in a little while. So, and Riley, you're in Florida now, right? Is that correct?
I am. I just moved to St. Pete, or Tampa, in October. So.
Wow. That is so, okay, so I have so much to say about the stuff that you said, Riley. First, that I feel like one of the things you address, which is really important, is that people are becoming more savvy and taking trainings and things having to do with gay and lesbian healthcare. But then I feel like what they're saying on their websites or in their literature is, I'm LGBT friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, like, you can't just tack on the T. Like, what you need to know to take care of lesbians is different, radically different than what you need to know to take care of trans people.
Right. And also, there are lesbian trans people.
And there are lesbian trans people. Yeah, no. That reminds me of my next question. Okay, that brings me right to my next question, which is that recently I was given the chance to look at and comment on a healthcare system that is trying to redo their software to allow for more questions and more answers and more checks and boxes and that make more sense, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things it says is like, you know, the sex on your birth certificate, your gender, and then it asks like if you've taken steps to be, you know, if you've taken any medical interventions to transition, blah, blah, blah. And then it also asks for your sexual orientation. So here's my question, Riley, as someone who probably does this a lot. Mm-hmm. Is it useful anymore to ask someone's sexual orientation when we... It occurred to me when I read it, that was the one thing that stuck out to me, that it's like if you say, hey, I'm a trans man, and then you say, I'm straight, people have to do like an advanced kind of math in their head that I think we don't need them to do. What do you think about that?
I think it's a question that doesn't quite get at what, you know, the provider in this case is wanting to know. I think it... You know, if I, like, let's say, for example, I identify as a queer man, that doesn't tell you anything about who I sleep with, you know.
Right.
It doesn't tell you anything about a risk profile that I might be in or might not be in. And so I think it's a better, you know, there are better ways of asking it and ways, you know, talking about behavior and the sort of sexual partners that people have.
Is that a better question? What are the genders of the sexual partners or the people you have sex with?
I would say that, but then an additional question of, is sexual pleasure, you know, an issue for yours that you want to talk about, A, and B,
A, right.
in the sex life that you're currently having or may not be having, you know, what sorts of behavior factor into that? And I think it's, you know, as a provider, you'd probably have to finesse some of the language about how you want to handle it. You know, some providers I've seen even personally are really kind of stodgy and don't want to even address it at all. Mm-hmm. I've had other providers that we've worked with be more of the feminist health center model of being like, you know, how is sexual pleasure an issue for you? Would you like to talk about it? You know, and being very forthright with things. And so I think putting on the provider, you know, training hat aspect of it, you know, if it's about meeting people where they're at as providers. So obviously we would love for folks to be able to, you know, have open and honest dialogues with people about sexual practices and about their identities. It may, you know, I don't know that most providers can go 0 to 60 like that, but, you know, it may be that we change how they, or they, you know, in their conversations, they start to change how they ask those questions. But they still may not be ready yet to do a full, you know, sex positive kind of way that some of us would like. And I think it's about having any positive change and meeting people where they're at, but at the same time, you know, challenging them via best practices. So what we're going to be doing and, you know, what we've established are, you know, tips that people, that providers can do that don't cost a ton of money that they can implement that will drastically improve the service that they provide to TGIQ people. And what we try to do is to make it accessible in those ways as well. So it may not take a ton of time. It may not, you know, be a huge expense, but it's just about making small changes that clue the user, like clue the patient into the fact that you're trying and into the fact that you're interested in learning, and then actually stepping back as a provider and saying, you know what, I may not know this, but I'm willing to learn. You know, I had a provider myself who had been a provider for probably 15 years in Chicago and had no understanding of trans things whatsoever. But she's like, but I'm super into it and I want to learn. And so I, rather than me being a guinea pig in a way, though I did, you know, do that to a degree, I gave her a primary care protocol. And I said, this is what is, has been established by many providers as kind of the gold standard. And if you want to do this in a good way, not just for me, but for any trans client that you may serve, this is how you do it. And thus far, she's been doing it for lots of folks, which has been kind of cool. But, you know, I think we need to be honest and real about the fact that, you know, providers are people and they're on a journey too. And so it might take some time to have folks adapt.
Yeah.
But Riley, how did the providers find Rad Remedy? Like if there are people listening right now, I know we have a lot of like practitioners, a lot of therapists, different types or whatever. If they're interested in being part and listed in Rad Remedy, what's sort of the process that they go through?
Totally. So providers come on our list one of three ways. In some cases, we already have folks listed. We have about 3,500 providers nationwide right now as it is. And those are coming either from community organization referral lists or from users themselves who have had an experience with the provider and can issue a review at the time that they suggest the provider. But also, if a provider is not currently listed and wants to be listed, we have like a questionnaire that they fill out. And if they go to radremedy.org and then look under the FAQ section, it will talk about how do I become a part of this. And there's a brief Google questionnaire that they fill out. And by brief, I mean that it takes about 20 minutes. And it's really thorough. So we encourage folks to kind of, you know, take their time and fill it out. And it includes things like, what is your treatment philosophy? You know, how many trans people have you served currently, historically? What's the physicality of your office space in terms of accessibility and gender-neutral bathrooms? And we just try to really get as much information as we can to basically, like I said, put all that information back in front of our users and say, you know, this is what we have, what we know. And then as users interact with providers, they can then come back in and put in a structured review about that provider. And what we've tried to do with that, too, is, you know, many times you have an intake process. They may be really awful, but then you have a provider behind that, it's actually okay. And so what we want to, what we've done is to basically create the ability for that to happen in a review so that, you know, say you could have an intake review of one and a provider review of, you know, 4 out of 5 or something like that, so that when somebody were to interact with that as a user, you can see, well, if I can just get through intake, that there's a good provider behind this. And then, you know, it's a little bit of information so that they can make that decision. The other thing that it allows us to do, too, is to work with providers. And so if we see the same people being mentioned, so say, you know, John Smith in intake is consistently having problems with undocumented people, you know, we can see that and we can approach the provider. The provider can see it and can address it or, you know, decide how they're going to handle it. And I should say, too, one of our other key features is that we enable our users, if they want to, it's completely optional, to do a kind of a full accounting of the intersectional identities that they have. So, you know, I know as myself, I don't show up in a bubble. You know, I show up as a white, queer, trans guy who, you know, is an adult and all these other pieces. So what we try to do is we allow our users to indicate those identities, and then those identities get aggregated. So reviews, you know, like let's say you see a provider and, you know, 5 people have seen that provider and 3 of the 5 have indicated that they are queer. It will then provide an aggregate score of queer, you know, how queer people rated that provider. And to try and understand that there's a spectrum of how care happens. And so I kind of universally disagree with the idea that, you know, that there is one really great provider that serves everybody and doesn't have any issues with anything. I'm a little bit more cynical and feel like, you know, that the reality is that, you know, my experiences as a white trans guy are going to be different than somebody who is a non-binary person or somebody who engages in, you know, street-based sex work, you know, all of these other pieces that you know, kind of play into it. And so we try to tease that out such that we can hopefully, as a community, see trends as they happen.
this is all really such an amazing resource for folks. Thank you so much for being on the show, Riley, and telling us about Rad Remedy. Tell me the URL again.
It is RADREMEDY.org, radremedy.org.
Great. Okay, we're going to take another commercial break, folks. And when we come back, your phone calls. People had a lot to say about a show in December, and we're going to hear all about that. So stay with us.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Hey, everyone. It's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Raymond and I are here talking about hot topics, talking about trans-affirming healthcare, and now is the Ask Tristan segment where you guys tell me what's on your mind. So we had two really good calls, both about a show we did on December 16th. On December 16th, we had a great guest, Lydia Bonilla. We were talking about all sorts of sexual things, and we had some letters from listeners asking about different topics. And this is feedback from other callers about those letters and about our responses. So the first one was a guy asked a question about why he hadn't had sex in 10 years and it wasn't consensually. He wasn't being celibate consensually. He really wanted to be having sex, but he wasn't having sex. And Lydia and I responded to it, and here's a caller telling us what they thought.
Hi, this question, actually it's not a question, it's feedback, and I didn't know how else. I was just listening to Friday's show, and by the way, I'm a big fan and I love listening, and I heard on this past Friday show something that I haven't heard before, which was a recorded question, and Tristan and the guest were addressing the question. The guest was Lydia Bonilla, and it was someone who was speaking about not having sex for 10 years. And I was surprised and saddened that the tone of the responses was somewhat pathologizing and, kind of harsh to this person who is offering a vulnerable question. And perhaps it's easier to be kind of more distant and harsh when they aren't in vivo on the phone with you. But I just could imagine the vulnerability in offering such a question and then to be met with a somewhat shaming tone and like almost blaming him and problematizing the way he was relating to the issue. So I wanted to give that feedback and hope that it will be considered in how future questions are dealt with. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
So you guys know that I always welcome your criticism. So that's why I'm playing these for you. I remember it differently, but also it was live and we were spontaneously answering these questions. I think that part of what this guy was talking about, he also brought up this idea of pickup artists. Like, do pickup artists really have the secrets to sort of how to get girls? So one of the things that we were disparaging was the pickup artist movement, not necessarily this guy. But Raymond, I'm curious, you listened to that show, you were there. What did you think of it?
I definitely could see there was a little bit of tough love in some of your answer to him. I didn't think that was the only tone you took. I thought that there was a lot of good sort of feedback. And so I don't want to say I can almost see where the caller is coming from, because what I'm also thinking about is that he kind of needed a little bit of a wake up. Like if this was someone calling in to talk about their sort of fairy tale princess heteronormative fantasy not coming true, I feel like the answer would have been like, hey, guess what? That shit's not real. And so I kind of felt like that was a little bit what y'all were trying to say, is like, try a different approach. Like you're hitting your head and getting, you know, against the wall, and maybe you could like turn around and see that there's all these other options. So that was kind of my impression as a listener.
Okay. Well, thanks for that feedback, listener. And then we had another letter from a bi guy, a bisexual man, who originally told his partner he didn't think he was bisexual, but then was coming to realize that he was bisexual and he was married to a woman and he didn't know what to do or how to tell her. And we got some good feedback on that one.
Hi, Chris. I'm actually calling to respond to a question from Will from last week's show as a bi and married man. It's a really difficult position to be in. There's lots of us out there who are in that position and have opened up to our wives. It's the stats that Will referred to. I know he gave you credit for the one-third, one-third, one-third. That's actually a bit of a misnomer. There's really not much research. Straight Spouse Network, who always gets all the fanfare for mixed orientation marriages, is really pretty negative, and it puts people in a position where they expect to fail. Lydia was right. You need to be talked about. These are really difficult conversations. The wife likely believed what he told her because that's what she wanted to hear. Likely say that things have changed will now come across as he lied to me, and I've seen that both in my marriage and other marriages. It turns into nothing is real. While we all change over time, too often one in a relationship will expect things to remain the same, and that's where they get into these issues. Really takes support for both halves of the couple to get to be a successful mixed orientation marriage, or MOM as it's called in the groups. And I would like to point out, any of your guests that feel that they're either suffering or struggling with this, take a look at alternatepaths.net. It's sort of a clearinghouse that some spouses have put together. It has links to a lot of very good supportive online options, and some of those online options also turn into in-person supportive groups that can really help a couple get through the initial shock and get to being a successful mom. I think you should really consider doing a show or two about moms. There's a lot of guessing and misinformation that leaves couples floundering when disclosure is made or more shocking discovery comes to light. This is not all that uncommon. There's a lot of people out there on the down low that can't feel like they can come out to their spouses, both men and women. And there's a lot of us out there willing to help each other get through it. Thanks for listening.
Oh, I just loved that call. I mean, it was it's a great call, and he made a lot of really good points. And also he did sort of pique my interest that maybe we should do a show on mixed orientation marriages.
That's such a funny acronym, MOM.
I know. I'm sorry that they're calling it MOM, like have a successful mom, be a successful mom. I was like, you've gone with the wrong thing, guys. But anyway, okay, we're going to let that go.
But alternativepaths.net sounds great.
alternativepaths.net sounds really good.
Yeah.
And I agree with him. I think that the most compelling thing he said was people change in relationships. Sometimes we don't want them to, but they do. And that's a lesson all of us can learn and take to heart. And that brings us to the end of the show. You have anything else to say?
Nope. I'm still stuck on mom, to be honest.
Okay, great. Well, I want to tell people that February is going to be a busy month for me. And if you want to come see me live and in person, February 4th to the 5th, I'm going to be at the Sexual Health Expo in Los Angeles. And Dr. Ruth Westheimer is keynoting at that event. So it should be fantastic. February 10th, I'm teaching Kinky Sex for Couples just in time for Valentine's Day at the Pleasure Chest in New York City. And Valentine's Day itself, February 14th, I will be spending with the amazing students at Bucknell University in Pennsylvania. So I'm coming for you, East Coast. Hopefully you won't snow on me. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, my captain tonight's Neil, associate producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Coming up in 2017, we have got some fantastic guests, including the co-creator and star of the online web series, which was nominated for an Emmy, Her Story, Jen Richards. The women of Afrosexology, Elle Chase talking about her new book for curvy girls, Lisa Kenny from Gender Spectrum, and Sunny Megatron and Ken Melvoin Berg from Sex with Sunny, which is a Showtime show, and many, many, many more great ones to be confirmed. So we're really looking forward to this year. We hope you are too. You can tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another show. Until then, catch me on Facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter, @SexOutLoudRadio, and @TristanTaramino. And in the meantime, resist what's coming our way this year. And take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.